about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program. I hope you're buckled up in your chair, that you're ready today as we're getting ready to dive into the Word of God. By the way, you are listening to the Refresh radio program of the Ministry of Merit Assembly of God that's brought to you right here on WMIE 91.5 FM, 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, 8:30 of a morning and 5 o'clock of an evening here on WMIE, and 10:30 of a morning. It is rebroadcast on WWBC 1510 AM. And so we want to thank you. We've been doing this now for 7.5 years, which is about 7.5 years longer than that I thought it was going to last. I mean, back when I did radio in the 90s, I thought that was it. And I heard Dr. Jeremiah say on one of his broadcasts that he had been rejected. You know, he's one of the most popular preachers on television and radio, and at one point in time he was rejected from having a media ministry because people didn't think that he had anything to offer. And I just want to thank God that men don't get the final say on that thing. And so even though I thought that part of ministry was something that wasn't ever going to come around again, it did. And I tell you, the radio ministry is a huge portion of what I do. And so we want to thank you for making this possible. And, you know, we're not here to, you know, twist your arm or anything like that. But if you do ever feel like God has laid it upon your heart to support the radio ministry, this is, it's not an inexpensive ministry. But it is something that we value getting the word out. We want to bring a word that is refreshing to you. I heard somebody say one time that, most sermons come from only about 25% of the Bible. I want you to know that, we go where the word takes us. So when I am here, I've got my stack of notes. The reason that I have this stack of notes is because I did the research beforehand and said, okay, God, where do you want to go with this study? And I allow the word to speak for itself. I'm not here to try and manipulate it or anything like that. I'm here to bring you the word of God in its truth and its power, so that you can live the holiest, most fruitful life that you can by the grace of God that has been imparted unto you. So today we're going to go back to Ezra chapter 8. Ezra chapter 8. We were in chapter 6 yesterday. And in verse number 21, it says, "Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might humble ourselves before our God, to seek from him the right way for us and our little ones and all our possessions. For I was ashamed to request of the king an escort of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy on the road, because we had spoken to the king, saying, 'The hand of our God is upon all those for good who seek him, but his power and his wrath are against all those who forsake him.' So we fasted and entreated our God for this, and he answered our prayer." So I want to start at an unusual spot today. I want to start at the end. I want to start at the end of this passage because it recounts what Ezra had spoken to the king. The king had been told by this man of God. He says, look, for all those who seek God, the hand of our God is upon them for good. Okay? Now, that's a great promise. That is a great promise. We may even come back and hit that one again later when we're starting to talk about the benefits of seeking God. But right now, we're talking about what does that process look like? Well, I want you to understand that the process of seeking God is something that you and I can utilize for our testimony to unbelievers. Okay? So Ezra went to the king and he said, you know, he had told him, he said, look, the hand of God is upon people who seek him for good. So today, on this Thursday, I want the hand of God to be upon you. I want it to be the heavy hand of God. I want it to be the powerful hand of God, the loving hand of God, the directing hand of God, so that you and I experience the favor of God to such a degree that people will want to seek God on their own. Okay? Here is another one of those instances. I think we've talked about this before, where the option is to seek or to forsake. You know, I would think that to seek or to not to seek would be the alternative. But this is the second time we have seen this in our study, where the Bible says that if we're not seeking, we're forsaking. And if I asked you, you know, how many of you are forsaking God this week, I'd probably get a lot of people that say, well, I'm not forsaking God. Well, the way that that question is answered is not by a denial that we're forsaking, but by the action of seeking. And if we are not seeking him, it says that instead of his powerful hand upon us, it is his power and his wrath that are working against us. That doesn't sound like a winning combination. Okay? You know, I don't know if you've ever seen a person that says, man, I just schooled my opponent today on the basketball court or whatever it was, and then you find out that they were out there by themselves with their toddler and a walker, and the toddler was their opposing opponent. And I'm telling you, I can beat any infant in a walker. I can take them playing basketball all the time. And that's not the type of opposition that God says. He says that he's a formidable force of opposition if we are forsaking him. This was not a message that was given to the children of Israel. This was a message that Ezra gave to the king. And so I don't know about you, but I would want to see that demonstrated. I would want to see that in operation in my life. And so if you want to see God's hand working in your life for good, you know, everybody quotes Romans chapter 8. Let me turn over there so I can read it for you. Romans chapter 8. And it says, for God works all things together for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Verse number 28. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to purpose. A lot of people quote it like this, and we know that all things work together for good. That's not what the verse says. You can put a period there if you want, but you miss the truth if you do. In order for all things to work together for good, that statement is only true for those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. So you've got to know his purpose, you've got to know his call, and you got to love him. And when those three things are in operation in your life, you can rest assured everything is going to be okay. Even if the enemy does something evil, God's going to take that curse and turn it into a blessing. Okay? Let's go back to Ezra chapter 8, verse number 21. And Ezra said that he proclaimed a fast there. Now, if you remember on a program several days ago or last week, I don't remember which one it was, that we talked about the importance of fasting and fasting the right way. I think that might have been on Monday's program. I'm not 100% sure of that, but I think it may have been. We've got to fast the right way. Well, this setting aside of food that Ezra and those who were traveling with him were going to do, this fast was one that was done the right way. This was not just some aimless ritual that was going to be done. This one had purpose. And they declared a fast with this purpose, that they might humble themselves. Okay? I can't humble you. There's no one who can humble you. Humbling is something that you have to do yourself. Humble yourself under God's mighty hand. Okay? Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You say, well, what happens when other people do something? Well, they can humiliate you. Humility is something that we embrace because it's a longing inside of us. Humiliation, excuse me, is what happens when we refuse to be humble on ourselves. God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So if we do not humble ourselves, God is perfectly capable of humiliating us. You say, why would God do that? Because he doesn't want us to die. He doesn't want us to be separated from him. God gave Nebuchadnezzar a tremendous gift in Daniel, who compassionately pleaded with the king to humble himself because he was so filled with pride that God was giving him a dream, a warning that he might humble himself. And instead, he looked around and commended himself and patted himself on the back and look at all of this greatness, this kingdom that I have built. And he lost his mental faculties. And he lost his throne. And he lost his family and his friends and his home and his possessions. And in Daniel chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar writes about all of the humiliating things that he went through, that he lived outside like a wild animal and his hair grew unkempt and his fingernails grew long and he was just out there exposed. And it took him a long, long time. And it said, until he looked up to God. Okay? I encourage all of us to do whatever we have to do. Fast whatever you've got to fast. I mentioned some things that I set aside. I have removed news apps from my phone. I've removed games from my phone. I have eliminated almost all social media out of my life. I'm just there basically to tell people I'm praying for them when they have a prayer request and congratulate people on their birthdays and their anniversaries. And then we post our Sunday messages on Facebook. By the way, I will tell you this. I've mentioned it before. If you don't see a lot of people, our congregation is not a large congregation anyway, but when we're live streaming our video, we intentionally have our chairs positioned where people aren't in the screenshot. So I had somebody said, there's nobody watching your videos. And I said, oh yeah. They said, how many did you have? And I tell them, and they said, well, it sure didn't look like that many. And it's like, well, that's because they're all sitting away from the camera. They don't want. So if you see that, you know, it's because people are wanting you to be able to see me while I'm preaching. You know, there's a lot of things that I've set aside. And, like I said yesterday, it's not that they're immoral or anything like that. They're just distracting. And so I want to fast certain things. I want to set them aside so that I can humble myself and say, God, in 2021, with all of the technology that we have and all of the resources we have, we need you more than anything this world has to offer. We need God. So my wife and I, a couple of weeks ago, I came home from church. It was a day when allergies had really pollen was really high in the air, and she came home from work because she uses her voice at work a lot, and she could hardly talk. And she said that, you know, on the radio they had talked about how there were so many people having laryngitis because of all of the pollen that was in the air. And I told her, I said, not last night, but the night before, I had not been able to sleep for like 3 hours. And it wasn't, you know, sometimes it's the temperature's not right or this. I said, but that wasn't it this night. This night there was a chorus that kept going through my spirit. And I don't even know all the words. I know only a handful of words of the song. And I said, you know what was going through my spirit? It was, we need a move. We need a move. And she said, are you serious? She said, that's the same song that was going through my spirit the exact same night. And it wasn't anything that we had seen on television before we went to bed. We'd seen that in a worship service a few days before. But she said, all night long, I was singing that in the spirit. And so when you and I recognize how much we need God, it is a humbling thing for us. But it puts things in proper perspective when it comes to God. We need the presence of God. Okay? And so it said that we might humble ourselves before our God to seek from him. This is still Ezra 8:21. To seek from him the right way for us. So I was talking with some men at our church, and they were talking about that some of their friends had told them about they'd go to a church and the pastor would preach a message, and they would go to another church and the pastor would preach the exact same message. And they said, you know what? We don't hear you preaching other people's messages. And I said, that's because I don't preach other people's messages. I'm appreciative of the word that God has given to them. It doesn't mean I don't listen to the word, but God has a word for the people of Merit Assembly of God. And so I remember when, you know, Rick Warren came out with the Purpose-Driven Life, and I know people who were taking his sermons and preaching them in his church. I was like, what are you doing that for? They said, well, if it helped build his church, maybe it'll help build my church. And it's like, but that was the message God gave him for his church. It doesn't mean that he might not have a point that is relevant, but as a pastor of Merit Assembly of God, as the pastor of Merit Assembly of God, I need to know the thus says the Lord that God has for Merit Assembly of God. This is a thus says the Lord that God has for the Refresh radio program. And so he has a word for us that we need to seek him for. It says they sought him for the right way for us. Now, we're not talking about situational truth. God is a God of absolute truth. What he was saying here was, God, I need you to show us how we're supposed to make this journey, because I don't want to embarrass you in what I have communicated to the king. He says in verse number 22, for I was ashamed to request of the king an escort of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy on the road, because we had spoken to the king, saying, this is what we talked about earlier, the hand of our God is upon all those who for God who seek him, but his power and his wrath are against all those who forsake him. He said, God, we need to know how you want us to make this journey. It's a dangerous journey. We need you to show us the right way to go about this, because we don't want to discredit you. Okay? And so I will tell you that when I asked my wife to marry me, there was a lot of preparation that went into that, a lot of soul searching and things of that nature. And I said, I'm asking you to take a leap of faith. I'm not asking you to take a walk of faith. I'm asking you to take a leap of faith, because I have no idea where God will take us. I never dreamed that we would end up in Florida. Never in a thousand years that it ever entered into my mind. Didn't dream that I'd be in a little nook and cranny town in East Texas, but that's where we ended up. And I said, I'm asking you to take a leap of faith, and I don't know what it is going to look like. But so when we got married, we celebrated communion. But when we were alone, the first thing that we did was get down on our knees, and we say, God, we need you. There's a lot of marriages that don't make it. We need our marriage to make it, and we need you to show us the right way. Not the worldly way. We want you to show us the right way. And we committed ourselves to a life of holiness and ministry and love and restoring value to things that the world had discarded. God knows the right way. He will order your steps and direct your paths, direct you in the paths of righteousness for his namesake, if we will humble ourselves and seek him and say, God, we need to know what the right way is. You say, well, I'm not a pastor. Nobody really is impacted if I don't do it exactly the way that God wants. If I don't seek him with all of my heart, it's not really going to make that big of a difference. I want you to know that Ezra doesn't say here that was just for him and not just for the leaders, but he says it's also important for our little ones. And you know, there are some calloused people that really don't care about what the future holds for their kids. I remember and I've been told that it is truly the mindset of the region of the world where this person comes from, that there is no real innate desire to leave their kids anything. They said, look, I brought the kids into the world. I trained them. You know, I got them to a certain stage in life, and now it's on their own. I don't owe them anything anymore. And it's like, wow, that's an approach to life that I don't really understand, you know, because most people that I know want their kids to be successful spiritually and want their kids to be healthy. They want them to know the right way. I will tell you, kids learn the right way or the wrong way from watching your way. You say, well, that's why I take them to church, so they can learn the right way, even though I'm living the wrong way. I'm here to tell you that the odds of that strategy being successful are stacked against you. You need to seek God for the right way. For, you know, I'm blessed. My kids pray for their houses. They pray if they're supposed to buy a car. They have learned the importance of praying. And so they are in a much better position in many instances of their life because God has protected them from making some of the blunders that maybe I made when I was growing up, and most definitely blunders that a lot of their peers have made. God, we've come to humble ourselves to seek from you the right way for us and for our little ones and all our possessions. Here's the double-edged sword about possessions. If you've got them, they're a blessing. The second thing is this. If you've got them, the thief wants to take them. You have to remember, when they made journeys, they didn't have debit cards, credit cards. Everything that they carried, all of their finances, their food, there wasn't McDonald's on the way or anything like that. They had to carry it all with them. And there were a lot of people who took advantage of travelers on the roads. That's why they very rarely traveled by themselves. The parable of the Good Samaritan is a person who ministered to an individual who was beaten and plundered by thieves and robbers on the way. And he said, you know what? I'm going to make sure that he is restored to a healthy and vibrant place again, even at my own expense, even though that person was a Samaritan, he was ministering to a person of Jewish origin. God wants you to know the right way. I want to encourage you. The hand of God will be upon all those who, for good, who seek him, but his power and his wrath are against all those who forsake him. Verse number 23, we're going to close out with this. So we fasted and entreated our God for this, and he answered our prayer. God will never, ever lead you astray. He is the God of the beginning of your journey. He's the God of the end of your journey, and he knows every step that he has ordered for you in between. I encourage you today, humble yourself, seek God, and ask him, God, what's the right way, so that we can show others that the hand of God is upon us.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
You were the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you, our Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus.